I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
If money affects your life in any way, Money Making Sense will talk about it. Be financially healthy, wealthy, and wise. Here's your host, Heather Kelly.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we are going to talk about the Federal Reserve. Joining me today is Professor Emeritus of Economics, Dr. Larry Marsh. So welcome to the show, Larry.
Oh, thank you, Heather. This is a wonderful show. I've listened to several of your previous podcasts, and they're excellent, excellent.
Well, thank you very much. So many people don't understand what their money does or why they're spending it or where it's going if you're not paying attention. But I think it's time that we talk about the role the Federal Reserve has with our money, because I'm not sure people, we just heard, oh, the Fed has lowered the interest rate again, especially while we're in this coronavirus pandemic and the economy is sort of shut down. So the Federal Reserve or the Fed will lower the interest rate, hoping to stimulate people to go out and buy things. Tell us, what is exactly their role?
Originally, the Federal Reserve was created in 1913 to take the power of creating money out of the hands of the politicians. So the concern was that the politicians would be too eager to make the voters happy by giving them lots of money, and it would create inflation and it would undermine the value of the money. So they said, okay, in 1913, they said, we're going to create this Federal Reserve Board where these independent economists would be able to control the money supply and would do so with the long-term interests of the nation in mind and not undermine the value of the money by creating too much money. So when you and I get into debt, and we owe a lot of money, and the creditors come to our door, we can't say, wait a minute, I'm going to go downstairs, and then you print up a bunch of money, and then you come back upstairs and give them the money. Well, then you get arrested for forgery. But the Federal Reserve can go downstairs, create money, and bring it upstairs and give you the money. And or if it doesn't want to add more money, then the Treasury can increase taxation. Which, of course, you can't go around and say, oh, gee, the guy came to my door, wanted money, I owe this money. I don't sneak out the back door and go to my neighbors and demand that they give me money. But the government can do that. The government can go and say, okay, everyone has to kick in the money through the taxation so we can pay our bills. So the federal government becoming in debt is a lot different from an individual becoming in debt. Because the federal government has options. But the Fed was created specifically to have an independent control of the money supply so the politicians wouldn't get carried away. That's the idea.
Well, I want to do a little sideline on this because we just had this huge $3 trillion stimulus package passed by Congress and the president signed it. Isn't that the government creating money? Because, I mean, where did this money come from?
Well, when the Congress creates, either gives an unpaid-for tax cut or has expenditures that they're not paying for so that they run into a deficit. The money is coming from the financial markets where the Treasury will generate these securities that are sold to people and corporations and various entities, including foreign countries, that buy those Treasury securities in the New York financial markets and therefore provide the money to the Treasury to make those expenditures. The Treasury is borrowing money in the New York financial markets. That's what's going on.
But I'm guessing that not enough countries or corporations are going to buy enough bonds for $3 trillion worth of stimulus money that has just been pumped into our economy. And eventually we are going to get taxed. The everyday person is going to get taxed to try to repay this $3 trillion.
Well, that could happen over the long run, but there's a very strange things have happened in recent years, and that is a huge amounts of money have accumulated in the financial markets. And that is why interest rates have been so low in recent years and why the Federal Reserve has been frustrated in not being able to lower the interest rate very much, because it's practically at zero already because of this huge amount of money that has piled up. What people need to understand is that 84% of the stock market is owned by the 10% richest people. And the richest people have been getting more and more and more money and don't know what to do with it. So they end up putting it in the financial markets, either in bonds or in stocks. And that money sits there. There's not enough demand for expanding another line of production when the companies are not selling all they can produce in the first line of production. And this is quite different from what happened right after World War II. So we had the opposite situation. So right now we have a situation where there's insufficient demand and tremendous amount of supply available. There's global supply networks, easy to get products at low prices. But the problem is there's not enough demand in our economy because the middle class can't buy back the value of the goods and services they're producing. That's the fundamental problem. And this is entirely different from what we saw right after World War II.
And that was where there wasn't very much supply, but you had a lot of people wanting everything.
Well, right after World War II, we had our GIs coming back from overseas. And there's these young families being formed. The baby boomers, of course, that was the time when baby boomers were being born, right?
Right.
And so there was a demand for new housing and new furniture and appliances and clothes for the kids and bicycles and automobiles. And then Eisenhower Interstate Expressway was being put in. When General Eisenhower saw the German Autobahn, as our troops entered Germany, he saw this Autobahn that the Germans had created to be able to move troops back and forth between east and west sides of Germany. And he said, that's what we need in the United States, an interstate highway system. So he employed all of these construction workers to construct these highways. And so at the same time, there was a big effort to demand housing for the GIs. And then there was the GI Bill, which provided money for education for the GIs and also helped them with their mortgages. And this created a tremendous demand for goods and services, but supply was very limited. The Germany and Japan were in rubble. They couldn't produce anything. We didn't have the global supply chain. So you had a very strong demand and very weak supply, and that was the perfect thing for the Federal Reserve to come in with its tools, where it injects money into the financial markets, and they can use that money for companies to expand their lines of production. And so that worked great after World War II. But right now we're in the exact opposite position.
Yeah.
There's very weak demand and very strong supply, and the Federal Reserve tools are not working anymore, and that's why I'm proposing the My America Prosperity accounts so the Fed can inject money directly into accounts for everyday people.
We do need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go more in depth into your My America personal accounts idea. Because, again, as you said, the rich people are just getting richer and everybody else is getting poorer. So we'll be right back with Dr. Larry Marsh. He's a professor of economics.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow the letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way whatsoever, we're going to talk about it. And today we are talking about sort of money in general. We start off with how the Federal Reserve uses tools to help keep the economy going, in essence. That was in the first segment. And I'm joined today by Dr. Larry Marsh. He's a professor emeritus of economics.
Thank you, Heather.
We did just give a general outline of what the Federal Reserve's role is in keeping our economy going and why it's sort of important to follow what they do, raising interest rates or lowering them. But you say that they are not using the tools they were created to do efficiently. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. The tools they were given originally were for an economy where there was strong demand but weak supply. But right now we're facing an economy that's exactly the opposite, where we have weak demand and strong supply. But our citizens are up to their eyeballs in debt. They're trying to make it from paycheck to paycheck. The demand is not there. But to understand that, when you spend money or a business spends money, you say, I spent the money and it's gone. But for the system as a whole, the money's not gone. The money has just moved on. So money flows through the economy the way blood flows through your body. And so what we need to understand is that the way things have worked out is too much money is going, as it flows around the system, it's going too much to the wealthiest people who pour that money into the stock market and make that money available for businesses to invest. But there's so much money piled up there that they can't find reasonable investments. And when they do find an investment, it's often overseas to create a new factory overseas instead of creating it right here in America. So we have this distorted money flow where the middle class can't buy back, the workers can't buy back the goods and services they're producing. So that's why I'm proposing a new Federal Reserve policy tool, these My America personal accounts, where we can inject money directly to individuals who will go out and spend that money as opposed to giving it to these wealthy corporations that just use it for stock buybacks or increase the dividends and don't really get it invested into the real economy.
Playing devil's advocate here, if basically what you're proposing, it sounds like to me, is sort of a streamlined version of Robin Hood who steals from the rich and gives to the poor, essentially. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I would argue exactly the opposite. Now, first you have to understand that before 1960, the wealthy people, the sort of Eastern elite, had a self-perpetuating, we call it an aristocracy, a legacy system, where you couldn't get into the well-known universities, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford, University of Chicago, unless you had legacy, which means you had to have your father, grandfather, or uncle had gone there. And so even if you were, you know, George W. Bush with a C average, you could still get into Yale because you had, you know, your parents and grandparents that went there. Then the business executives came from graduates of those institutions. And so the country was really controlled by this elite that self-perpetuated. So that was the bad news, but the good news was is that they had a sense of guilt, that they had this what's called noblesse oblige, this sense of obligation. So the rules were among the elite to stay out of politics and don't get your name in the news and don't demand a big salary. Keep a low, modest salary. And the system after World War II and during this period worked really well. But around 1960, a little bit after 1960, these elite colleges started introducing SAT scores and ACT scores and said, we should base stuff on merit, not just based on legacy. And so when they started basing stuff on merit, we thought, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be much better. We're going to have things based on merit, not based on this nobility. But it turned out to be worse, ironically, because when the old aristocracy was there, they weren't all that smart. They didn't necessarily have the, you know, they weren't being based on merit. And so they couldn't outsmart the government lawyers. But when the meritocracy was started, they were really smart, and they could outsmart the government lawyers who weren't paid very much, and they could incorporate into the laws all sorts of benefits to themselves.
that's how we've sort of wound up in the system we're in now. But how does My America Personal Accounts reroute the money from the richest people into the everyday man's account?
It's a very good question. It's really making sure that when we inject money into the system, it's not injected into Wall Street, but it's injected directly into Main Street. So it puts money right into hands. And we're putting a limit on the accounts. First of all, there'd be $1,000 put in every account, but you couldn't withdraw the money right away until after age. You could withdraw it after age 70, but initially you could only withdraw the interest earned on the account. When the economy slowed and the Fed wanted to stimulate the economy, it would inject money directly into these accounts. But it's designed to only be directed towards the common people and not towards really wealthy people. So you could only earn interest on the first $10,000. If you had $12,000 in the account, the extra $2,000 would not earn any interest. And that is in order to not interfere with the banking system, to let the banks want the guy with $100,000, not the guy with only, you know, $5,000 or $1,000. And so we're targeting this towards the people that have the least amount of money and therefore the people that have the highest marginal propensity to consume, which means the people that will actually spend the money.
First of all, I would need to sign up. I get on my phone and I say, okay, I want to open a My America personal account. And when I do that, automatically there's just $1,000 in there from...
Yes, and there would be automatically $1,000 in there. And everybody with a Social Security number who's over the age, you know, 18 years of age or older would get one of these accounts automatically. And so your tax refunds would go into these accounts. And if your employer wanted to pay you through these accounts, they could do that if you made that arrangement with your employer. So you could tell your employer, just send the money to my account, and you could direct the money there if you want, or you can get the money the usual way, whatever way you normally get it from your employer. But it would be an option that the employers would have. And the interest earned on these accounts would be tax-free. So there would be significant benefits. Ordinarily, when a bank gets money, it turns around and loans the money out. But when the Federal Reserve would get money into these accounts, it doesn't need to loan them out. It can just sit on that money. So if inflation threatened, the Federal Reserve could increase the interest rates in these accounts and people could voluntarily add more money to the account. I mean, if they're offering you 6% interest rate or 8% interest rate, you're much more likely to put money in there than if they're only offering you like 1% or a half a percent. So the idea is to make these accounts available both to stimulate the economy and also to be able to deal with inflation that might come about and be able, need to be able to withdraw some money from the economy voluntarily.
I feel I've missed one little step, though. Where does this $1,000 come from? I know you said it's you would have the rich people who want to invest into the stock market. Instead of doing that, you divert it to into these My America personal accounts. But how do you do that? I mean, I'm guessing that a lot of rich people, maybe not Warren Buffett, but a few others, are going to be like, no, you can't just take my money and give it to the everyday man.
Okay, well, this is a very interesting aspect because when the Treasury or, you know, the United States Congress and so forth, when they decide to spend money, they in theory need to tax somebody to get that money. But when the Federal Reserve sees that the economy is slow, what that means is there may not be enough money circulating through the system. It's like if you don't have enough liquids in your body, your blood, there's not enough blood circulating through the system. You need to inject more. If you're dehydrated, you can't have the demand for goods and services. It's not sufficient. So you have to hydrate yourself, and that means the Fed injecting money into the system. The Federal Reserve prints money, in effect. It does it. It can do it digitally or it can do it physically, but it can create as much money as it wants, but it doesn't want to create too much money because it doesn't want to create inflation. So the whole purpose of the Federal Reserve is to create enough money to keep the system operating at full employment, so resources are fully employed, everybody's working, but not so much money that it creates inflation. That's their mandate, and they're the professionals that are supposed to know exactly how to do that. But they have been handicapped because up until now, the only way they can inject money or pull money out is through the financial markets in New York City on Wall Street. And what I'm proposing is to have a new tool, these My America personal accounts where they can operate directly with Main Street and get money into these accounts when it's necessary. And essentially, they just make the money out of thin air. There's no taxation involved, and there's no increase in the federal debt. They create the money out of thin air, which they've always done, and which actually individual banks do every day. When you put money in an account, the bank takes that and loans it out to someone else. Well, when they loan money out to someone else, they're creating money out of thin air. But the Fed controls the overall aggregate amount of money in the system by keeping track of what all the banks are doing and then increase and decrease accordingly.
All right, we do need to take one more break. When we come back with Dr. Larry Marsh, we're going to wrap things up, but I also want to go into how do we see this actually being implemented in the future. So we'll be right back with Professor Emeritus of Economics, Dr. Larry Marsh. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we are talking about the Federal Reserve, how they make money and make our economy go. And apparently, according to Dr. Larry Marsh, he's a professor of economics, the tools that the Federal Reserve was given when it was first created in 1913, those tools don't work anymore. So he has a proposal of injecting the money directly to the everyday person, you and me. We would each get $1,000 if we opened up an account, which, Dr. Marsh, you were calling it My America Personal Accounts. So in the last segment, you described how all that would work. But there's a glitch here. It's not happening yet. What has to happen for all of us, the everyday person, to get this, what you're proposing would be $1,000 and get our economy going, not just the rich person?
The key is getting Congress to realize that the system isn't working properly now, that we've reached the point where interest rates are being set close to zero. And actually, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank, Jay Powell, and he was saying, you know, they're very limited in what they can do. They're stretching things as far as they can. And he did say that there's no way they can really, at least for the United States, start using negative interest rates, because that would imply that the bank would take money out of your account every month instead of giving you money. And so negative interest rates aren't going to work. So really, Congress needs to pass this, and it needs to get a better understanding. And of course, if the people as a whole understand the way the system is not working, why the Federal Reserve's methods are not working, then they will contact their congressmen and congresswomen and make sure that they pass this law that allows the Federal Reserve to inject money directly into these My America personal accounts. And those would be highly secure accounts where you could take your smartphone or your laptop computer or your desktop computer and have them set up with your Federal Reserve personal account, and those would be identified by the system, but your transactions would take place instantaneously. So when you transferred money for someone who raked your leaves or shoveled your snow, you would be able to transfer from your smartphone to their smartphone, and it would take place immediately. So they would see you had the money immediately, and that's the way the system would work.
Do you have a bill to your congressman so they can hopefully present this and they can debate it and talk about changing this? Or is this sort of a grassroots idea? You're just hoping that enough people hear about it and they contact their congress people?
Well, actually, I've started the process, but we need to get the people who are thinking in more holistic terms and broader terms. And so there's a lot of people who, younger people in particular, who think about the system as a whole and how we need to revise it to make it work, because too much money is being diverted to the wealthy people in Wall Street through all of these tax loopholes and other. And in the book, I talk about Internal Revenue Code 469, which that are direct money to the wealthy people, so they don't have to pay taxes. So there's a whole lot of situations where large corporations and wealthy individuals pay no income tax whatsoever, but somebody has to pay for the aircraft carrier. So if they're not paying their share, we're not only paying our share, but we're paying their share as well. And so this has to stop. And so we need to first of all, reduce the amount of money that's going to Wall Street because it's a waste of money. It's the interest rates are bottom, and it's dangerous for our economy to have interest rates that low because it discourages people from saving money. So these My America personal accounts will offer a good interest rate that people can actually make it worth their while to save some money and not go deeply into debt. Yeah, we do have to mobilize our congressmen and congresswomen and all of the politicians to pass this law in Congress. And so I'm just beginning that process. And any help that people want to give would be very welcome.
I do believe that our economic system does need some working and changing around. My concern is that even if we get this bill through there, since most of Congress and the senators, they are either part of the rich class or they are being bought or influenced by the rich people. And the rich people probably do not want their money flow changing at all.
That's absolutely right. Serious problem. So we do need to try to figure out how to elect people who are not going to be catering to the wealthiest people all the time and will instead look after the concerns of the everyday people in our economy.
That's all we have time for. Dr. Larry Marsh, you are Professor Emeritus of Economics, and you were at Notre Dame. Thank you so much for helping to explain what the Federal Reserve's role is and what they were supposed to be doing when they were first created, but now they can no longer do it. If anybody has questions or they want to learn more about this, you do have a book out called Optimal Money Flow, correct?
That's correct. So they can go to optimal-money-flow.website. So if they put http://optimal-money-flow.website, they will find the information they need to access the book and to order the book if they decide to do that.
Thank you again, Dr. Marsh, and very nice to have you explain some of this and break it down. Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.